Okay. Okay, so they brought Samson in. He's blind. A little boy brings him in. A little boy brings him in, and he has a plan. Samson still has a plan. Deep in his heart, he says, take me to the pillars. Take me to the pillars that's holding up the building. And they take him to the pillars. And while he's standing there, and while they're, oh, Samson, you're so strong, aren't you, buddy? Oh, why don't you perform a little bit? Won't you destroy us, Samson? What happened to your strength? Oh, Samson, something happened to your eyes. Samson, what happened to you? And as the devil is mocking him, you know the devil loves to mock and make fun of people. He loves to tell you what a fool you've been and what a fool you are and how he's got lordship over you. He'll tell you everything. But you know what? He is a L-I-A-A-R. L-I-A-R. I think I put too many A's in there. But you could just hold that out. Hey, he's a liar. A big one. And so if he says it, turn it around the opposite way and look at the other side of it. You're more than a conqueror. And he's calling you defeated. And guess what? They took Samson and they put him right there and he prayed. And see, that's what we got to do. It's what the devil tried to keep us from doing. He put any block up to prayer or reading the word. And those two are your two vital things, is God's word. And I need to hurry, don't I? And God's word and prayer. He prayed. And here's his prayer. He said, oh God, give me strength one more time, Lord. One more time, have mercy on me, O God, and give me strength to spoil these Philistines, which had been his lifelong mission, is to be a harassment to them and a deterrent to them. And with all of his strength, he got a hold of those, and the power of God came upon him. And he said, let me die with the Philistines. And he pushed, and with all of his might, he pushed. And the building came down, the roof came down, and he killed everyone in the place. The Bible says he killed more in his death than he had in his life. You think you're finished? You think it's all over? God's still going to use you to pound that enemy. He's still going to use you to do a mighty work for God. Oh, I don't even understand how God has brought all this about today, but there's someone out there, and probably including all of us here, that need to hear God's not finished with us. Rise up, and I speak to myself too, to rise up. Listen to God, obey him, humble yourself before him, and see what the Lord will do for your life. Amen?
Amen. How I learned to discern is when a thought comes that I'm not sure about, I line it up with the Word of God.
Amen. Amen.
If it does not line up perfectly to the Word of God,
yes,
I'm not taking it.
Right.
Just like the day when I left the studio. I had just left this studio and was on my way home. And I was getting on the highway down there by Love's. And as I'm coming around the corner, this thought came. You're so stupid. What are you doing? Like you can help someone? Like God could use you? You shouldn't even be here. And as I come around the corner, the feeling, the spirit of suicide was getting heavier and heavier because I wasn't.
You weren't immediately dismissing it.
Right. And as I come around the corner, to get, and on that exit, you have to enter into the fast lane on I-40. And there was some semis coming. And as I'm, and it's just getting heavier and heavier. And I'm like, no. And the thought, a hard thought is the only way I can describe it, is a hard thought to swerve. In front of that truck, it'll be fast. It'll be over, and it'll be quick. Just do it. And I'm sitting there driving the van with my hand, both hands on the wheel, and I'm like, oh no. And I just start praying in tongue and with my spirit. Mm-hmm. I just start praying and praying and praying. Because I knew if it doesn't give life and if it doesn't promote life, it's not from God.
Right.
If it involves self-harm.
Right.
Or hurting, causing strife. It's not from God.
Right.
That's straight up the enemy.
Right.
Trying to destroy, kill, steal, and destroy. And as I'm making that turn, about to start getting on the highway, and I see the trucks coming, and I'm like, and I just start praying in the spirit. And boom, it was gone. Mm-hmm. When, for me, that was one of the hardest things to learn to do, is if it promotes this, it's not. If it promotes this, it is. Mm-hmm. And how do you know that? How do you know what God wants?
He always wants life.
This.
And good.
If you... You're not going to get discernment if you ain't in the Word. Plain, fact, simple. No sugar added. No sugar added. If you don't pick this up for yourself and open the Word of God and read
the truth
and read it, you're not going to know the truth. Because every word in this Bible, basic instructions before leaving earth, is truth. Period.
Amen.
You cannot convince me that there's a word in this Bible that is not truth.
It is truth.
Every word is truth.
And it and you sets line it up. You free.
And you line your you line it up with the Word of God. If it don't line up, trash it. Don't entertain it.
That's true. You will know the truth. The Bible said, "You the truth you don't know can't help you." But the Bible says you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. In order to know it, you've got to read it.
Amen.
You have to spend some time in it. And it's real easy to spend time in this. It is for me. And it's just easy for all of us to grab this. And the few minutes that we do have, we're scrolling. You know. But I used to tell people, was before this came along, put scriptures on little cards.
Yes.
Put them on your refrigerator. Put them on in your bathroom mirror. Put them and start, yes, in those moments that you have some free moments, start putting in the Word. Get scriptures that greater is He that's in me, and find them in the Word. And then sometimes you can look on the, just get in this and go, give me scriptures on victory, or give me scriptures on healing. Or you can find John Hagee or a whole bunch of them that have healing scriptures if you need a healing, and you know, and get those scriptures. But I still think it's a good idea to write them down and post them around your house and read them. Put your Bible in your car, post some in your car, put them in a notebook like this, open it and read it. Put them on a card. I've got mine on a great big, you know, great big old thing, and some there. And
when I was at rock bottom and decided I didn't want that life, after relapse, after Mark and Victoria passed away, I relapsed really hard. Mm-hmm. And my home became a monster house. And people would come in, use my bathroom to do dope. People would come in. I mean, this one man would bring his son on the brink of death from alcohol poisoning and leave him at my house. And I would sit there with him all night with rags and a fan and just watching him and making sure he didn't die. When I decided that enough was enough, that I was done dancing with the devil again.
Yeah.
And that's
right.
As real as I can get.
Yeah.
That's as real as I can get. And I asked the Lord, I want that desire for you back. Mm-hmm. I've lost it. Mm-hmm. and I don't like it. I'm done with that. And I started going back to church. I put some scriptures. I took a Sharpie on my front door. This is how desperate I became. I became so desperate that I didn't care. This is my home. And if I want to write scriptures on my walls, on my door, on my mirrors, I pay taxes on this. I can write them on there if I want to. I started with a black Sharpie. I started writing scriptures. And on my front door, I wrote this one. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. And that's the main one on my door. The main one. And then there's some psalms that I wrote. And they're written.
Still there.
And they will stay there.
That's good.
As long as I own that house. As long as that house is mine and I'm living in that house, they will stay there. Once I put those up there, not one of them people have showed back up like that.
Got rid of the devil.
Well, to them, I just went all Jesus freak. Uh-huh. Thank you very much. Hallelujah.
Yeah. Didn't you tell them to get out one day too?
Yeah. Well, I did before I wrote the scriptures. I had a metal baseball bat. I was serious, man. I was serious. I was so serious. I was done. I was over it. And I got angry. I got angry at the right one. I was no longer angry at my Abba and my Creator.
Right.
He sent me some pastors and gave me a church home to help me understand.
Right.
And help me get it.
Right.
I was a very angry person. And I was so mad at God. I was so angry at God. God didn't take my husband. He was there for my husband.
Right.
God did not take my daughter. He was the one there for her to welcome her home.
Right.
And I got so twisted and confused and so angry at God. How could you take these people from me? And my daughter-in-law was bold enough and brave enough to tell me, I don't know what God you serve, but we ain't serving the same God. And it hit me. And then my anger began to turn toward the right one. Because my God is the God of life. Mm-hmm. Is the God of love. He is fair and he is just. He is loving. He is kind. He is faithful.
Amen.
Oh. But I have an enemy that roams around like a roaring lion.
Seeking who
he may still kill and destroy.
Who he can devour.
And devour us. And that's exactly where I was at. I was blinded to the goodness of God. And I just...
Right.
The scales, the blinders came off. Mm-hmm. And I seen it for what it was. And then I changed. I fixed my focus on God, on my Lord Jesus Christ.
And fell in love with him.
And got to know the character of my God through his word.
Yes.
And got to know my sweet Savior, my Redeemer.
Right.
Their true character.
Right.
And I learned that I have an enemy. I have an adversary. But I have a sweet advocate.
Amen.
And so I switched my, I fixed my focus on my Lord. And then I started getting this holy anger, this anger. But it was directed at the right one.
Yeah. And you can put him to flight.
And through my Lord, with my Lord, I have peace. I have joy.
Yes.
And I know where I'm going to go.
Yes.
And before I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing my name in stone freaked me out.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't just fall off my rocker, Sister Judy. I smashed it.
Yeah.
But God said, I got a better seat for you. I got a better table for you to eat at.
Amen.
Just come and taste. Taste and see that the Lord is good.
That's right. And truth, if we can get a hold of truth, because I was thinking the devil's lies are many. And for every one of us, I think he sends minions, demons, out that they're just reporting demons, so to speak. And out, and they watch you.
Scouts.
And they scouts, and they watch what you like. They listen to what you say. Actually, you tell them things that, because he is not, you got to remember, the devil is not omnipotent. We're so used to thinking God is all-knowing, and he is. But the devil's not all-knowing. He's a created angel. Yeah. He's a created being, and he's out to kill, steal, and destroy, and he's got these minions who he also hates them. He hates everybody. He hates God worse. He hates us next, and then he hates those people. But they have to obey because they listened to his lie in heaven and followed him, and so now they're trapped, and so don't you know they hate him? But they have to say, Lord Satan, they have to follow him and do. So they got some reporting that they have watched you. And when I was in Colorado, I saw this man who is kin to the lady that was with me, or connected with the lady through relatives and past relatives. Anyway, we all saw each other and talked, and I saw the Spirit of God on this man. I'd never seen the Spirit of God on a older grown man. I say older. He's probably in his early 60s, something like that. I don't know. Anyway, I don't know how old he is. But anyway, the anointing of God was all over him. He said, God is in this room. And he went forward. Everybody's leaving for lunch. And he went forward to the altar. There wasn't anybody up there. And he was just seeking the Lord. And when he got back, I said, would you pray for me? And so he prayed for me. And then I've always got to push the envelope a little bit. I can't just leave well enough alone. So I said, would you pray one more time? And would you just ask the Lord. Now, the enemy's listening, and I don't know this. There's a whole host of spiritual stuff happening around us that we don't know anything about. We're in the natural, and we can only see in the natural. And only when God lifts the veil and lets us look could we see anything like that. Brent actually asked the Lord to let him see what the enemy was up to, and he said, you couldn't handle it. You couldn't handle it. And so there's all of this stuff going on. So I opened my mouth and told the enemy something he didn't know. And I said, and probably the truth is, that was what I was viewing is probably really wasn't the truth, because the Lord had filled every void in my life, and the Lord was so sweet, and I really wasn't filling the void, but my husband was gone. And so I said, would you pray that the Lord fill this void for my husband? He prayed. I walked as far as about you to that chair right there, and they turned and started visiting, and I stood there, and here came the devil. Did I invite him? No. Did I know he's anywhere around listening? No. Did I want him? For sure, no. But he came and he spoke to me, and here are the words he said: I am your base. I've always been your base. See, I needed Thilbert was my base. Thilbert was who I was connected with him. I was connected. I was always so proud to know I was connected to that good-looking, awesome person. You know, I mean, he was me and I was him, so to speak. You know, we were one. And then but the enemy comes and says, "I'm your base." And I'm like, "What?" That didn't make even sense to me. Or what? And for just a second, it seemed so real. And I'm like, "Well, that can't be right." And then I went to the motel that night when we left church, and I was like, got in bed, and I think that was crazy. That was stupid. And then I said, "Lord, would you show me what happened? What in the world was that all about? Would you show me?" And he gave me a dream. The Lord answered me. And I said, this sounds so funny, but and I don't even know if I should say it on the air, but it was funny. I was in this dream, I was in a corral that had the fence was not broken where there's a fence and then a piece of fence and space in between. It was one solid wall of fence. And I was in the arena with a horse that was so huge, it was like a Clydesdale horse. And it was all solid brown, and it was staring me down and walking toward me. And I was backing up, and I backed up against that fence, and there was nothing I could climb. That was just a solid wall of fence, and I couldn't climb. I couldn't go anywhere, and I'm backing up. And he stopped, and he was giving me this stare. I've only seen it two times in my life, if for real, is a hate stare. It wasn't ever my husband. It was a hate stare, once as a child and once as an adult. I saw two different people, both were men, looked at me with a hate that was literally from hell. You could tell it was a demon almost looking at you from hell. And the hate was just so strong. Well, that horse looked at me with that hate. That horse was looking at me, and I was backing up from it. And then it just turned around, raised its tail, and pooped all over me. Literally. Now, when a horse poops little round poop. About that big, I think, if I remember right. Not a cow. It does big things. But anyway, this horse in my dream, like diarrhea. It was like yuck, went all over me. And then I was somewhere in a trailer trying to find a shower, and the shower wouldn't work. I was trying to find a shower to shower off. But I said, that's what the devil did. Mm-hmm. He walked up and lied to me. He walked up and pooped on me. And Monica and I have talked about it. He serves poop pies. It looks like a chocolate pie from a distance. But if you get up and you put your finger in it and you taste of it, you're going to find out that's poop. It's not. Chocolate. And that's what the devil served a lot of people listening. A bunch of poop pie. And you're sick because of it. You're hurting because of it. And you need to ask God, clean me out, God. Clean me up. Get into that word. The Bible says we're clean through the washing of the word. We're clean through the washing of the word. So the devil will come up to you after that. I was at a women's conference, and I was just worshiping the Lord and drawing near the Lord. Here came the enemy again. He said, I thought I was your buddy. You see, he comes, because what do I need right now? I need a buddy. What do I need? I need a friend. I got a dog in my house. I don't have a man in my house that hugs me and tells me he loves me now. You know, I don't have somebody to ride in my car with me all the time. Except Jesus told me, I told him that I was alone one time. I'm so alone, Lord. And the Lord, when I went to the conference in Oklahoma City after that, a lady walked across the aisle. And she said, the Lord has told me three times to come and pray for you. Can I pray for you? And I said, yes, ma'am. I never really even saw her face because I was sitting down. She was standing up. I bowed my head. Her little hair came down. I could tell she had long hair. And so I bowed my head, and she prayed. She started speaking in tongues. And she said, you're not done yet. And then she spoke in tongues again, and she said, and you're not alone. And I'm like, she knew nothing about me, not one thing. And she turned and walked away. I never knew her name. She didn't ever know mine. She spoke from me to God. I'm not done. And I'm not alone. And so when I'm riding in my car, Jesus is there. When I'm sleeping in my bed, Jesus is there. Amen. When I need a friend, he says, talk to me, baby. I love you. Walk with me. And I walk with him, and I find contentment and joy and peace. What the enemy has said since then is came to me one night and said, I'll be your companion. And he said those words to me. And I struggled with that, and I grappled with that, and I have to realize, wait a minute. And then this last The last thing he said, the Lord was blessing me Monday, a week ago Monday, that I woke up to the presence of the Lord and heaven was coming down on me. I could see my healing. I could see a future ministry. I was just loving the Lord. And the enemy came and said, you owe me. You owe me. I came to you in your need. And I'm going, what in the world? And I said, and I tried to, and you know what? I just got to realize, you know what he is? He's a L-I-A-R, liar. And just as Monica said, what we have to do is discern and then remember that everything bad comes from him. He's no friend. He will kill you in a minute if he gets a chance. He wants to be your friend. He wants you to think he is so that he can come in and kill you.
He's a counterfeit friend.
Because he can't break in. You've got to open the door. He don't have the power to break in. He has no power. And what people have told me is I'm walking through all of that. I've walked through. He has no power. So you know what he's doing? He's begging. He's begging. He's begging. Won't you listen? Won't you let me in? I'll be good for you. I'll do something good for you. I really want to kill her. But I come on. Come on. Let me in. Let me in. And what we have to do is take our authority and says, this says, Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Because he did the same thing to Jesus. If you will bow down and worship me, look at all I'll give you. Mm-hmm. He put that mirage out there. You think he'd have given Jesus anything? No, remember, he's a L-I-A-R.
Smoking mirrors.
Smoking mirrors. He won't give you nothing. And I, that little book, I'm sorry, taking so long, but that lady in that book said that there was a woman who had been a witch, and she had listened to Satan. She had promised her things. She had a lot of power on this earth. He had promised her a lot of things. And when she got into hell, she said, Satan, now give me my kingdom. You promised me. And he said, you really believed me, didn't you? You really thought I wasn't lying to you. You really thought I would give you something. Strike, he hit her. With like almost like lightning, he hit her and she went down. Get on your knees. You say, Lord Satan. This woman's watching this in a vision. Say, Lord Satan, I will serve you. You're not getting nothing. Matter of fact, take her and torture her. That's who it is. And we can't imagine anybody that sinister. That's right. We can't imagine anybody that real. It's hard for us to grasp that. That he is so horrid. That he would pull up to you and say, I love you, and have a knife right here to stab you in the back.
Yep.
But that's what he said. I love you, and stick you in the head. I love you, punch out your eye. Because that's, he uses words, and watch the terminology of the left. Watch the terminology that's coming across your TV. Everything for abortion. They don't say we're going to kill babies and give us the right to kill babies. Give us the right to kill babies. They say no. Give us the right of choice. Give us the right of choice. They switch everything using wisely in their sinister evil, wisely switching words around to trick our minds because they're of the devil.
Yeah, and one of the things they say is it's my body, my choice. I beg to differ. You didn't create your body.
And you didn't die. The baby died.
You didn't create your body. God did. God knitted you together in your mother's womb.
Psalms 139. Read that.
We are wonderfully and fearfully made.
Amen.
It's not my body. I had that twisted, stinking thinking too at one time. Mm-hmm. I thought my body, I can do what I want.
Not your.
I was so wrong.
You can't pull one breath into your lungs. The breath you breathe is not your own. You're breathing God's air.
Amen. And I want to, before we close out, I want to take a moment. Tomorrow we're going to be voting on State Question 820.
I don't really understand whose side and what that, because I haven't listened to TV. So I really don't know if voting yes is good or voting no is good. If it's something about drugs, right? Something about marijuana.
I want to encourage you as a... Hang on. I want to encourage you as a medical card holder. I want to encourage you to vote no on State Question 820. In Dill City, where I live, in Ouachita County, It's the only thing on the ballot there. I want to encourage you to vote no. As a medical card holder, I encourage you, if you don't know which way to go, I encourage you to vote no on that bill.
It's important that we get out and vote.
Yeah.
Is it?
Educating yourself is so very important. So very important. I am a card holder.
Yeah.
I am a medical marijuana card holder, and I encourage you to vote no on 8/20 tomorrow. You have been tuned into the Hour of Power this morning from myself, Monica Lovell, from the beautiful Tina Dobbs, from our gorgeous sister, Nancy Elwood, and from our awesome, beautiful, gorgeous sister in Christ, Sister Judy Gifford. Y'all have a blessed day, and we'll see you next time.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app where you'll find The Rock Christian Music and take us with you everywhere.